yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
He'll be at Summerfest tonight. Sir Paul McCartney and the Beatles on your radio friend.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
Well, in full disclosure, Attorney John Cabranes is not here. He's got the day off. But we have a triumvirate of Cabranes Law Office attorneys. Please welcome to WRJN, Claire Longden. Hello, Claire.
Good morning. How are you?
It's good afternoon.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
but I appreciate that, actually. And welcome back to Shanaz Lakdawala.
Hello, good afternoon.
There you go. And Jordan Schrader's here, too.
Good afternoon.
Hi. How are you guys?
Great.
Anybody going to the Summerfest this summer?
I will be there tonight, actually, watching Paul McCartney.
And maybe listening to him, too. Have you ever seen Paul McCartney?
I have not, but one of my friends went to see him when he was at the Brewer Stadium just a couple months ago. And what was that, last year already? Yeah, and she said it was a phenomenal show, so I'm excited.
Most famous person, other than Paul McCartney tonight, that doesn't count because you haven't seen or heard him yet, most famous musician you've ever seen perform?
Well, I saw Bruno Mars last year. I don't know if he's...
He didn't do Uptown Funk or anything, did he?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, that's probably like it was the finale. And who else besides Bruno Mars, Claire?
I'm trying to think. I've been to so many shows. I don't know who the most famous is.
Who is your most favorite show?
Gosh. I like... I don't know if anybody knows who Father John Misty is, but I really like him.
Shanaz, do you know who Father John is?
I have no idea.
You got to get a little closer to the microphone.
I have no idea.
You have no... Jordan?
No, not a clue.
Who is Father John Misty?
He sings like some kind of like folk, indie kind of rock songs, and he's just a sexy performer.
Oh, there we go. Shanaz, who is the most famous musician or your favorite musician that you've ever seen perform?
I saw Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake.
Oh, that must have been a great show.
It was amazing. And it was at Yankee Stadium, so it was even better.
Yeah, Yankee Stadium, what were you doing in the Bronx?
Oh, I'm from New York.
You are?
Right.
So. You grew up in New York?
Yeah.
Where in New York?
In Queens.
Wow. Yeah. You know who else grew up in Queens?
Who?
You ever hear of this guy, Donald J. Trump?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a Queens native. And what about you, Jordan? Who's your favorite rock and roller of all time that you've seen?
Well, my favorite is Carrie Underwood. But
you really wouldn't count that as a rock and roller, but she's great.
I saw Meatloaf recently before he
fainted
on stage, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was probably the youngest one there. But
I bet you were. I think since you didn't ask, but I'll say anyway. I think my favorite show of all time, Grateful Dead. I think I saw The Dead 40 times before Jerry Garcia died.
Yeah, I've seen Fish a couple times. Jam bands are fun.
Speaking of jam bands, have you ever seen the Yonder Mountain String Band?
I have not.
You need to get some Yonder Mountain music.
Okay.
They are kind of like just down from Fish.
No, I went to Dark Star Orchestra once, but...
Dark Star does basically Grateful Dead covers,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good stuff. The Dead and Company with John Mayer is coming to Alpine Valley. Get your tickets soon.
Cool.
This is Glenn Klein. You've got a tune to AM 1400. It is the Cabranes Law Hour. Where is John Cabranes today?
He has a motion hearing, so he couldn't be here.
Oh, he actually is working.
Yes, he is working. He's not does not have the day off.
Okay, let's talk about him behind his back. Now, Claire, you've been working with Attorney Cabranes for a while, right?
Just this year, yeah. But we actually all have some work to do this afternoon. Like Friday afternoons usually start to wind down in the courtroom, but we'll actually be heading over to Kenosha Courthouse after this to take care of some stuff before the weekend. So we're kind of all filling in for Jack today.
So what, Jack? Is that his nickname? Like John Kennedy was Jack Kennedy? Jack Cabranes. I like that. So what will you be doing at the Kenosha Courthouse, if you can share?
Oh, this afternoon we just have some pretrial conferences. Normally the court doesn't schedule too much on Friday afternoons, but next week is going to be a busy week, so we have a lot of stuff to take care of before.
Well, Attorney Cabranes and the Cabranes Law Offices have actually been in practice for 20 years.
Correct.
In Racine.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to say, Claire Longden, what would you say is Jack or John Cabranes' best quality as an attorney?
He's very candid, which I think is important. When people come into your office looking for legal advice, they want to know whether or not they even have a case, first and foremost. We never take a client if there's nothing that we can do for them, potentially. There's never any guarantees in the law, but he'll be very straightforward about your chances for a case. He'll present all the different options to you, but he's always going to shoot it to you straight.
You know, he mentions that all the time, and he is absolutely a straight shooter, and he's a great guy on the radio as well. We are talking to three attorneys from the Cabranes Law Office for the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN, and we're taking your calls. We're live right now. It is 24 minutes after 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. If you're listening and you hear this, give us a call. 634-WRJN is the number, 634-9756, to ask Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrader, and or Claire Longden any question you have about the law. Why, Shanaz, did you go into the law? What was your passion behind deciding to become an attorney?
Mostly, I think it's just because I wanted to help people. I grew up watching a lot of SVU and law-related shows, and I think I've wanted to be a lawyer since I probably was in high school. I got an internship at a law firm it was in the Empire State Building, so that was always fun to travel to work at that time. I had no other plan. I wanted to be a lawyer, and that's why.
And where'd you go to law school?
I went to law school in New York. It's called New York Law School.
A very fine name for a law school in New York. And does the New York Law School have a mascot?
No, there is no mascot.
No athletic teams?
No.
Just a bunch of brainiacs.
Just a bunch of law
brainiacs.
Yep.
Exactly. What about you, Jordan Schrader? Why did you go into the law?
Well, I had always thought about the law since probably around high school time as well. I wasn't really 100% sure about it. There was at one point someone close to me who was involved in a family law case, which is why I became interested in that. Dealing with custody and placement, which for those of you who don't know, custody and placement are a little different. Custody is for important decisions as far as where the child goes to school, any
religion,
where they go to the doctor, dentist, anything like that. And then placement is where the child stays, either primarily or some of the time. So that's kind of why I found it interesting. Kind of, I didn't get to see, because I was younger when that happened, I didn't get to actually like go in the courtroom or anything, so I was kind of behind the scenes of it, but that's kind of what got me interested in family law.
And where did you go to law school?
Marquette University.
And what is the Marquette University mascot?
Eagles.
That's right, the Golden Eagles. What was the Marquette University mascot before it was the Eagles?
Warriors.
The Warriors. Claire helped you out there. How much of a team does it take to have a quality law office, Claire, where you help each other out like that?
It depends on the quality of the people, not the size of the firm, but I think we work very well, and we have really great support staff too. We have five five girls. Well, we have four secretaries that help us out. One of them has been with Attorney Cabranes for 11 years, I think.
Yeah, 10
plus. So they're just really great support staff. They know immigration law through and through. They're able to file the correct paperwork for everything. They're just super organized, and they are really the backbone for our firm.
This is the Cabranes Law Office, and well, it's not the law office. Part of the law office here is the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN, and we're taking your calls at 634-WRJN. Any legal questions for the attorneys from the Cabranes Law Office, 634-9756. Caller, you are on the air with the attorneys. Apparently not. Hello. You talked about traffic law. What are the other things that the Cabranes Law Office specializes in, Shanaz?
We do criminal defense. We do immigration law. A lot of family cases. Right now, I am overloaded with a bunch of family matters.
Like what?
Just custody placement issues, child support, divorces, the whole nine. Everything, basically.
Who is worse, an ex-wife or an ex-husband?
I can't pick one. I feel like it depends on the situation, and I've had crazy ex-wives, and I've also had crazy ex-husbands, so that I've had to deal with.
Who's the best?
The best?
Yeah, at breaking up. Women or men?
I'd prefer not to answer that.
Well, you're entitled. That's what we call the fifth, isn't it? Taking the fifth.
Pleading the fifth.
Well, we are going to return on the other side of the Greg Tonkparco's news here during the Cabranes Law Hour. We are taking your call, so line up. Give us a call, 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. We're taking all your legal questions for Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrader, and Claire Longden of the Cabranes Law Offices here in Racine during the Cabranes Law Hour. As I said, Tom Carco is coming up with the WRJN News Block next.
You know, I don't mind working hard in my road construction job, but what I do mind are drivers who speed.
By special request from attorney Claire Longden, that was Father John Misty on your radio, friend. Pretty good, Claire. You can learn a lot about people by their music taste. You ever notice that? She is with the Cabranes Law Office, and this Cabranes Law Hour is brought to you by said Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. This show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. The attorneys have neither the time or the information during the show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC, makes no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular legal issue. This is your radio friend, WRJN. It is the Cabranes Law Hour. We are taking your questions for the attorneys, Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrader, and Claire Longden, from the Cabranes Law Offices. The number to call is 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. Claire Longden, most challenging case you've ever had?
Each case has its different challenges. Sometimes a case that shows up on your desk that looks like it's going to be really easy, that looks like it's only going to be, you know, an hour of work or maybe one court hearing, can turn into something monstrous. And other times, the charge, let's say it's a criminal case, it could be, you know, something that looks pretty grave and the circumstances look pretty bad, but it's something that can be worked out, you know, with the district attorney, or can be negotiated prior to trial. You might even have just a family law case where I've thought, you know, this is just going to be a simple, a simple motion hearing on custody or placement, or this is just going to be a stipulated divorce. And then all of a sudden, you know, one of the parties decides that they want to turn it into a trial issue, and we end up dragging it all the way out. So it becomes a lengthy divorce. So there's lots of factors that go into what can be the biggest case. It's not necessarily the most heinous. Just because it's a felony doesn't necessarily make it a more difficult case than something that may appear to be a smaller issue.
What is the gravest criminal defense case that you've ever had? Most serious?
Well, our office has had plenty of intentional homicide cases, which obviously that's an A felony, so that's the most, in terms of sentencing, obviously that's the biggest crime and the most serious crime that you can be convicted of. So Attorney Cabranes has handled several homicides. I have not done a homicide yet, but I have represented people in armed robberies and other felonies apart from intentional homicide.
My former wife, her boyfriend is a death row inmate attorney, defense attorney. That's what he does for a living.
Mm-hmm.
That's intense. We don't have the death penalty in Wisconsin. Can you give your opinion on the death penalty, Claire? What do you think about it?
Well, what I will say is that, I mean, I'm glad that, we do not have that here, because it adds an extra element, at least for the attorneys, on the burden. You know, these people are already losing their liberty, so it's nice for us from a defense standpoint to know that that our whatever we argue for, if worse comes to worse and the evidence is not in our favor, or the jury decides to come down a different way than we're anticipating, that it's not going to result in the death penalty. I don't know if either of you have anything you want to say about that, but I know in terms of how we feel about it as defense attorneys, I'm glad that that's not on the table.
Right, so it's not a factor in your defense strategy. We're talking to attorneys Lochtewala, Schrader, and Longden on the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN. What is the most intense criminal case that you have faced, Shanaz?
Well, right now, Attorney Cabranes and I are working on, we have a first-degree sexual assault case. That will be my gravest charge that I've other than that, I think it's been OWIs. I think OWI third was my biggest one.
What do you do when you think somebody's guilty and yet you still have to defend them? How do you approach that?
Well, you have to, you have to advocate for your client. You have to leave your thoughts behind. First of all, if you think your client is guilty, I think you have to put that aside. And the way I deal with it is I say that he may or may not be guilty, but if the evidence, if there isn't enough evidence to convict him, then he doesn't deserve to be in jail, and he doesn't deserve to be convicted.
The law is our guideline. So, people cannot, we don't want people serving sentences that they don't deserve. So what we do is we advocate for our clients. We present the evidence. Everybody is entitled to, a trial. And they're entitled to not be given, the maximum penalties or to be given something more than what the offense is punishable for. So
she is Claire Longden. We've got Shanaz Lochtewala and Jordan Schrader from the Cabranes Law Office on the Cabranes Law Hour. It is about 13 minutes until 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon. We are live. We're taking your calls. Any legal questions you have for the attorney, 634-WRJN is the phone number, 634-9756. Get on the phones right now, 634-9756. Jordan, how important it is for a vigorous defense of in a criminal case, even if the person is guilty, in order to provide for a great defense in the future for somebody who is maybe accused of the same crime but is truly innocent?
I don't fully understand your question.
That's a fair question. That's a fair point. All right, so obviously some people that you're defending are innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Some people you're defending are guilty. But you're going to approach the defense of those two people equally as aggressively, right?
Correct. So,
because how important is it for the person that is innocent to have those precedents and that case be prosecuted or argued very effectively?
I mean, that's very important. if they are innocent, they don't want to be prosecuted for something they didn't even do. And as far as a guilty person, they have those same rights as anyone else. So I don't know that it matters if they're guilty or innocent on our end. I mean, it matters, but as far as advocating for them, that it's going to be the same either way.
Because an aggressive defense really holds at bay the power of the state, correct? Regardless of the specific case of the person and how guilty they are or are not. Claire, have you ever defended somebody who you knew was guilty and got them off?
I mean, well, let's, I just want to clarify something. If I know that somebody is going to commit a crime, or if they're engaged in some sort of fraud or are going to do something, and they share that information with me, I do not have to represent that person. I am inclined to report somebody if they are going to do something further illegal. So, you know, we do have the discretion. I have not had somebody in a serious criminal case confide in me that they did commit the crime, because I would not be able to cross them. Question them on the stand under oath and ask them, did you do this, and have them say no to me. But what I will say is, you know, for the smaller criminal offenses, I mean, it's clear in a traffic case or something like that, that obviously the person may have, you know, broken the speed limit. They may have, you know, driven without a license or something like that. And those are the types of things where, luckily for us, you know, there isn't an ethical thing, decision that we have to make, because we're most likely negotiating on behalf of the client for some sort of amicable outcome. So we're hopefully getting them, a smaller fine or keeping them out of jail or something like that, because they are pleading guilty. And that happens in criminal cases as well, where when the defendant is willing to own up to the fact that they did commit a crime, our job as an attorney is just to make sure that that punishment is fair, so that, you know, the person is owning up, the society is protected, but we're also advocating for our client in the sense that they're not going to serve 20 years for something that, you know, they only deserve 2 years or something.
How often do you plead something out, Shanaz? By percentage, would you say?
Well, as a firm, we are not afraid to go to trial. We'll go to trial if your case is, you know, meant for trial, if we have a good case behind it. Usually the operating without licenses case, traffic citation that we get, that's usually pleading out. But other than that, I mean, we're a firm that's not afraid to go to trial. So our pleas aren't that many, especially for criminal trials. I think the larger criminal cases.
And it also depends, I think, on the risk that the person wants to take, too, because, you know, if you do go to trial, and unfortunately this is how the criminal justice system sometimes things play out, is, you know, you do have to present your case, and either to the judge or to the jury, and there is a risk that that jury might find you guilty even if you are innocent. So sometimes people do take pleas, and they do it in order to avoid that risk of a longer sentence. But that's why it's important to have an attorney involved in that negotiation process, to make sure that, you know, you aren't signing up for something that you shouldn't be getting.
It's 8 minutes until 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon. This is WRJN, your radio friend, and the Cabranes Law Hour. If you've got questions for the attorneys, give them a call. The number is 634-WRJN, 634-9756. You still have a few minutes to get in with the attorneys from the Cabranes Law Office on the Cabranes Law Hour. And we do have a call right now. Thank you for calling WRJN. Call, you are on the air with the attorneys.
Hello, I just have a question in regard to my boyfriend, who's currently incarcerated, and just a general question. There's an attempt charge that's been put on him, and I wanted to see if it actually does exist, because we're afraid that it does not actually exist, and we're fighting it. And the charge is the attempted to work, sex offender working with children, and does that attempt apply to that specific charge?
So what is the actual charge?
a sex offender working with children, and he's been hit with attempted to do it, and we've researched it online and come to find out, and we've also been in contact with other lawyers saying that this charge does not exist, and but yet his appeal lawyer is convinced that it does exist.
Okay, so you're talking about the actual statute, whether or not that's...
Yes.
Okay. You know, I can go online on Wisconsin statutes right now and see what the exact wording is, but I'm pretty sure the state wouldn't bring forward a charge that, you know, doesn't exist. Maybe it's the wording is different. If he's,
right.
he's already been charged with it, though, that's what the appeal is going to be about then, is whether or not, you know, I'm assuming that's what you're saying is the appeal is regarding whether or not that was even something that he could be charged with.
Right, and that's what we're dealing with right now is that, you know, we're not finding anything that would qualify this charge to even be there.
Well, you know, we do free consultations at our office the first visit that you come in. So without knowing the specifics of his case or what he was charged with in the past, I can't really say. I don't know exactly what the statute. I'm assuming there's a statute number on there. But you can come into our office anytime, and the number is 262-638-0529, and our secretary will set you up with a free consultation so we can go over
it. Because it would be easier to come in and actually physically talk about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's not a whole lot I can say on the air right now because I don't know the circumstances of the prior case that he had, nor the statute number that they're alleging.
Right, and I have the paperwork for the statute numbers and things like that. So.
Yeah, please come see us and we'll let you know.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help.
Sure.
Thank you. And we're taking your call now at 634-WRJN with the attorneys from the Cabranes Law Office, 634-9756. 5 minutes until 2 o'clock. You are listening to WRJN, which means you can get on the phone right now and talk to the attorneys with any legal question you have. 634-WRJN, 634-9756. Besides criminal law, Jordan, what are the other things that the Cabranes Law Office specializes in?
We do family and immigration law. So those are and we also do small claims. So those are the main ones that we do at Cabranes Law Offices. And each of us are able to do family, criminal, immigration, and small claims.
How fascinated and closely did you guys follow the FBI Director James Comey's comments the other day about the legal process that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton went through? Did you follow that, and do you find those things interesting when it obviously applies to your profession?
I mean, and it does apply, but you know that it wasn't. That was the FBI making that determination, and you know the FBI does a really thorough job. And you know, I was with the Federal Defender's Office interning before I graduated, and I know the FBI does a decent job putting together their cases. So, I mean, I really can't comment, and I don't think the regular layperson can comment on whether or not it was a thorough investigation or not. But it sounds like there was like some 30,000 emails, and out of those 30,000, they found maybe 3 emails that contained some stuff that was classified, and it was buried within the emails. So, you know, that's up for debate whether or not people feel comfortable having a president who is in office who may or may not be reckless with the way they handle information. But we're all human, so I'm not going to say either way. That's how, you know.
Well, one of the attorneys that I saw on television said that it was very unusual for the director of the FBI to make that public statement.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, with his findings, typically they said they would just say, "Here's what we found," and turn it over to the attorneys in the Justice Department.
Right.
So it was. That, I was very fascinated by the whole process, Shanaz.
Honestly, I really don't have an opinion on that.
I mean, it was just like a very public, I mean, everybody, it was on the news every day. So I think that some statement had to be made because people were going to think they were covering things, and then they were going to get more flack about the fact that if your name's Clinton, you get off or something. So I feel like the FBI probably felt they had to come forward, but that's not really a legal, you
well,
know.
Well, they're right. There's a political aspect to it, but there's also a legal aspect. And yesterday, the FBI director was before the House committee, and he was absolutely grilled by this Congressman Trey Gowdy, who's a former prosecutor. And what does it take to be, now obviously you guys are defense attorneys and you're defending people here in Racine, but what does it take to be a good prosecutor?
I didn't know if anyone else wanted to go forward, but you know, I mean, you do have to do your homework. You know, I don't think it's fair for a prosecutor to bring charges against somebody if they really, you know, I mean, under the law, they have to feel like there's at least probable cause, obviously. So the elements of whatever crime they're saying that this person committed need to be there. So if the police report, for example, in a case that we're handling, that's more often what we're going to see, you know, is just the cop saying someone else told me this. You know, that's something that we can get in there at their initial appearance and kind of say, hey, look, these elements are lacking. Where's your probable cause?
You know? But a lot of times prosecutors become defense attorneys, don't they? Because they can see things from both sides of the fence.
Right. And I think that goes for, all attorneys, but you can see, you know, both sides, because there is, you know, it's not as a defense attorney that I don't want the community to be safe, you know, from people that are potentially committing these crimes. But I also don't want somebody who hasn't done something that amounts to those things ending up in jail for something that doesn't constitute a crime. Maybe they did something, but if they didn't do the thing that they're alleging that you did, and those elements aren't there, then under the law, they shouldn't be locked up.
She's Claire Longden. We've had Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader. They're all with the Caprana Law Offices, and you can give them a call. Free consultations, right, ladies?
Mm-hmm. Correct. 30-minute consultations, and you can come. You can either call us on the air here, or you can give us a call at the office. Again, the number is 262-638-0529.
Well, great seeing you. Enjoy Sir Paul McCartney at Summerfest.
Thank you.
That's going to be awesome. And you guys coming next week?
Yes, we are.
Everybody?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is Attorney Cabranes going to be joining us?
He should be, unless something comes up.
Wow. It will be a full house. Can't wait till next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having us.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend, WRJN.
Your radio friend is AM 1400, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
Sweet Lou Turner follows WRJN covering the world at 2 o'clock.
Special report, Dallas officers ambushed. Authorities now believe the slain suspect in the sniper attack that killed five police officers in Dallas was the only gunman. He's been identified as 25-year-old Micah Xavier Johnson of Mesquite, Texas. Of course,